Well, good morning. Thank you, Chris. That's very kind words. Happy Mother's Day, you mums. You're awesome. We're awesome, aren't we? He said it. We are. We're awesome. In our household, we have a little phrase from Richard, my husband, which basically is, "Hooray for mummies." And we can imagine, can't we? I'm sure you can imagine. That the reason we use that is usually because I'm the person who knows something, perhaps, or can find something. And that's my life. Anyway, yeah, because I actually, my sons have now left home, but Richard's still there, so he still needs help. Well, it's great to have the opportunity to share with you today. For those of you who are not following our Bible reading plan called Revealing Jesus, as a church family, we're reading through the New Testament. And we're currently exploring the Apostle Paul's letters to the church in Corinth. Would you mind if I change my glasses? I'm really sorry about this. I hadn't accounted for the distance. Just bear with me. Where's that other pair? There's another pair of glasses here. Hooray for mummies. They were here. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. No, it's okay. It's all right. Just bear with me a minute. We'll get there. Thank you. So we're going to look at today's verses, as I said, which may be very familiar to you, through the lens of our Revealing Jesus series. Not just asking ourselves about how Jesus is revealed to us personally through these scriptures, but because our focus always needs to be looking outwards, how we as believers, as a church, use that revelation to be effective in reaching out to those around us. So let's go straight to the scripture. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So this morning, let's talk about one of the main challenges each and every one of us face in our everyday lives, the battle in our minds. Just like the topic of forgiveness, this is an important area of faith that we need to look at and review again and again. Our minds can be so easily distracted and drawn away from living our daily lives with Jesus. As it says in Proverbs 4, "So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life." So let's delve a little bit deeper into these verses, starting with some context. I like context. Anyone else like context? Yeah. It helps us understand, doesn't it? Let's have a quick look at Paul and the Corinthian church, the who's saying what to whom, where and when, and why. Okay. Your starter for 10. Paul, before conversion. Anyone like to give me some facts about Paul before conversion? Come on, this helps me because I haven't got my glasses yet. Richard's still looking.
He was pretty religious and a Pharisee, so.
Yeah, a religious man, a Pharisee. Anyone else?
Angry chap.
Prosecuting Christians.
He was persecuting Christians. Anyone else? He was a tent maker. Ooh. That sounds very mild-mannered, really, doesn't it? A Roman citizen, yeah. Okay. Keen on genocide, and yes, we are recording. Okay, so this is a fair picture, is it? Have a look. Pharisee, a passionate and zealous man, which actually did contain some anger, I suspect. A man with a mission. He was influential. Dominant, maybe? I think. Striving to attain. He was a conscientious persecutor of the followers of Jesus. And let's not forget this. He was pursued by the love and the forgiveness of God. Paul, the sequel. Okay, any facts, please, about Paul, and it can be during or after conversion. Anyone?
Initially blind.
He was initially blind. Kindness. He was persecuted. Yes, the persecutor becomes the persecuted. Anyone else? He was an evangelist, wasn't he? Yeah. Passionate and zealous still.
He traveled.
Prolific church planter. Okay, so here we go. Have I covered it? He was transformed, wasn't he? A man who encountered Jesus. He was passionate and zealous, as you said, Mel. He was a relational, global leader and apostle. And he actually had, we're talking about motherhood today, aren't we? He had an extraordinary gift of fatherhood for the church. Churches that he planted. He was a man with a call, he was a man with a mission. And yes, he was persecuted. And in that, he was starved, imprisoned, threatened. And he's a man who knew, and he was killed, and he was killed. And he was a man who knew the battles of life. But he never lost sight of God or his mission. So at the time of Paul's letter, the young church in Corinth was struggling with what they believed. They were fledglings, new to this new faith, and they were being drawn away from the truth of the gospel and the kingdom way of life. Paul had taken the gospel to their region previously and had spent time nurturing these new believers. There's that word again, nurturing. And just as God would nurture us. And he was nurturing them what he calls the way. Previously, he'd called the people of Jesus, the people who follow Jesus, the people of the way. Whilst not with them, his letters formed part of the continuing discipleship of the church. And Paul, as the founding father, was concerned that they didn't lose sight of their faith and that they continued their journey well. Now, Corinth was a major trading city. As we know, it was a Roman city, even though it was in Greece. It was part of the Roman Empire. And it was a crossroads to the world where cultures, religions, and philosophies collided. At this time in their history, the church had been and was being influenced by this world around them. And it is apparent that their congregation had been infiltrated by false teachers. They were being lured away, as Paul says, from the simple purity of their love for Christ. And there was dissension and competition in the church at that time. People were losing confidence in Paul and losing confidence in what he had taught them about this new way of living. And this was a church that was losing its way and losing sight of its core values and beliefs. Losing sight of its purpose. So let's go back to our verse. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So the word flesh here is defined as the natural attainment of men. It can also translate as the weaker element of human nature, or the lower and temporary element of a Christian. So it's basically a lower, independent of God way of functioning, way of living. Paul's instruction here is fascinating, a fascinating contrast, isn't it, to his own approach in his previous job. As a strict and zealous Pharisee, he would have had to have been a man who would strive. He'd have been a hard taskmaster to himself and to others. And as a conscientious persecutor, he would have used basic instinct and every trick in the book to capture, punish, and execute those who were of the way. These Jesus followers are drawing our people away from the true faith. They're blasphemers, and he really believed that what he was doing was right. Let's remember what Paul says to the Corinthians. He says to us today, inspired by the Holy Spirit, these are the words of a man who has experienced both ways of life. The life of the flesh, that independent of God way, where he'd learned to attain everything by his own efforts and instincts. And the life of the Spirit, the sequel part of his life, where he has learned, and in our case, we continue to learn to do things God's way. This is a choice. This is how I say it. This is a choice between striving or trusting. Flesh versus spirit. So there's a war on to determine. To undermine us, isn't there? To undermine you, to undermine the good news of the gospel. And this war is going on. It's not going away. This war will have to be fought every day of your lives. My life and your life. This war will have plenty of battles. Each of them will try to draw you away from the truth of God's love for you and your love for him. And Paul says, I'm going to give you effective tools to fight this battle. So for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So we fight, I don't know about you, but I'm just a bit competitive. I quite like competition. I was very sporty at school and I did not run to lose. And neither did I run to come second. I ran to win. And actually, this battle we fight to win, don't we? And in this verse, in verse 4, it's a life-changing promise that will mean the difference for us between living lives of victory, which is full of love and hope, God's peace and his joy, or defeat, which is worry, misery, self-reliance, disappointment, anger, you name it, all those negative things that we live with often in our heads, in our minds. Now, Paul does describe these weapons in some other scriptures. I'm not going to go through that today. However, you will, if you're a small group leader, you will get the notes, and you with your small group will go through this. So this will be a really great way to unfold this a lot more. There's just not enough time to do that on a Sunday morning. And just to say, if you're not in a small group, then come and speak to me and I'll find a place for you, because it's really important that you connect. And this, they're good times, aren't they, where we can chat these things through, work these things through, talk these things through, pray these things through together and grow together. So he does say in his word that we do know in the word that we are given these weapons, and he gives us everything we need. There is nothing left out. And of course, that includes himself and his word. That starts with himself, the knowledge of him and his word. So in this verse, he tells us what we use these weapons for. So they are for pulling down strongholds. So the weapons he gives us are for the battle against all ideas, arguments, philosophies, and worldviews that set themselves up against the knowledge of the true God. And as the Message Bible puts it, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life, of a life shaped by Christ. And these weapons are mighty. We sang it earlier. He is mighty to save. I like that word, mighty. That's a good word. I like things that are mighty. They are powerful weapons. They are effective weapons. And they work. You can trust what God has given you to fight each battle. If you do this God's way, it'll work, says Paul. So pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is a fortification, a fortress. And it can be a good thing or a bad thing. In this case, Paul's referring to the fortification of all ideas, arguments, philosophies, and worldviews that set themselves up against the knowledge of the true God. They can also be called mindsets and belief systems, and they can feel like mountains. So Paul says, use these weapons to pull down anything that would keep you from knowing God and living in the fullness of his promises for you. In the Bible, this is called the constant renewing of your mind. And that's what we're called to, constantly renewing our mind. That is an important part of our growing and our continuing in our growth. So verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We can choose to contradict every single thing that makes itself more important than God and his purposes in our lives. But what are those things? Just like the Corinthians, we can be easily influenced by the world around us, can't we? Whether we're conscious of it or not, whether we admit to it or not, we are influenced by the belief systems and philosophies of today. And we can also be completely absorbed in our own lives, ourselves, the what I call me, myself, and I. And we can choose to put ourselves first, can't we? Choosing our own way of doing things. That's an area of my life that I work through a lot. Independence is a big area in my life that I have to work through and acknowledge and then do something about. And we also have an enemy, don't we, who would kill, steal and destroy, where God would give us an abundant and fulfilling life. He would come to steal that from us. So bringing every thought into captivity, what am I thinking? What am I thinking? What am I thinking? What am I thinking? What are you thinking? What you think matters. And it really, really matters. Nay, what you think matters. Vanessa, what you think matters. Tom, what you think matters. Mickey, what you think matters. Richard, what you think matters. And knowing what you're thinking about and where it's taking you is vital to your health and your well-being. Your thinking affects you spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and socially in every area of your life. Are you worried, fearful, disappointed, anxious, angry, resentful, jealous, overwhelmed? Is your head full of negative thoughts? What about my circumstances? I hear you say, you have no idea what's going on in my life. Well, you may be right. But if Jesus was looking at your situation, how would he see it? Connecting our life situations, our problems, difficulties, it is actually a number one principle in walking with God. Jesus wants to be more real to you and I than anything we are facing, giving us the opportunity to see things through his eyes. Our choice to take these nagging and tormenting or negative and negative thoughts captive to ask Jesus to help us is a truly wonderful thing. I can honestly say it really is. I can testify that in so many areas of my life. Whatever you give to him, he will always give you something better. So, as Christians, how are we supposed to think? The first thing we need to understand is that when we choose to walk with Jesus for the rest of our lives, when we choose this new way of living, what is normal for the world is no longer normal for us. There is a way we're supposed to live that reflects the image of Christ in the world. That's the revealing Jesus out there. What Jesus reveals to us as truth, we reveal to those around us. That's the bit where we get to shine, to be a light. That's a positive knock-on effect of good thinking. We get to live lives that are hope-filled, and we get to carry that hope into a hopeless world. What a privilege that is. And I'm just going to share very, very briefly. Richard and I have talked about this, so please don't cringe or feel that, oh, she's saying something she shouldn't. We have talked about this. Richard and I, both of us, we've been married for nearly 32 years, and we have battled through that for a lot of that time. And one of the reasons for that, not necessarily the main reason, but one of the reasons for that, was that Richard wasn't a Christian for a very long part of our marriage. And I was a Christian for nearly all of our marriage. And there were many battles with that. And I can tell you that I was very good at taking matters into my own hands. I wonder if that has anything to do with wanting to win or being independent, of course. And I had to learn that actually every time I moved into independence and self-reliance, it wasn't going to work. Because actually what it was control and manipulation. My desire for Richard to know Jesus was great. But actually, what was my motive really behind that? And I had to look at that. I had to be really honest with myself. I had to go and take those thoughts captive. What am I doing and why am I doing this? And actually, when I say things work, you know, when God gives us weapons and he gives us tools, they do work. Now, we know that there are no guarantees, because if people don't want to walk with God, they don't. However, God taught me to use those weapons effectively. And the very first point is, let go. This is not for you to do. And that's what I had to give up. I had to give up trying to take control. And actually, right now, we have two sons. It's Mother's Day today. My great desire would be for my sons to be sitting in church with us today. It is a great desire of my heart. And they're not. They're at home waiting for me, which is wonderful. But I would love them to be walking with Jesus. But I can't take matters into my own hands. So I have to make sure, what am I thinking about? What is going on in my head? What is it that I believe about God that is far greater than what I believe about my situation? I hope that helps. I'm really happy to talk to you more about that, if you want to at the end or at another time. Just honour my husband, who was very, very, very gracious in allowing me to share that with you. So we look at that scripture, unto the obedience of Christ. Obedience, does that sound like a bit of a swear word around here? Are we all right with that word? Because actually in society, it's not a word that is really liked, is it? It means someone else is in control. And society doesn't like that word. And actually, we may or may not realise it, but we're not really okay with that word in some respects, are we? Yeah. But actually, right now, in this very moment, what you believe about Jesus, who he is and what he promises, it really matters. And it will continue to matter. This is a new way of living. This is the aligning ourselves with his power, his promises, his provision. So do I agree with what he says through his words? Do I believe that it says and is true that for he, God, knows the thoughts that I think towards you, towards me. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give us a future and a hope. Do we believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us? So what Paul taught the young churches then, he's still teaching us today through God's word. This is God's constant voice, the voice we need to listen to and obey for our sakes and for the sake of the world. The battle continues. So today, my friends, don't lose sight. Paul knew what it was to have his life transformed. He didn't allow the world, his own desires, nor the enemy to write the sequel of his life. Let's be like Paul, to embrace Jesus, the one who makes all things new. Let's be like Paul, who chose to leave the grave clothes of the past behind and to move forward, taking every thought captive to line up with what he says about us, our lives, and the God potential in others. As it says in Hebrews 12, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. So let's remember Jesus wants to be more real to us than anything we are facing, so that we can come into alignment with who he is. This morning is a great opportunity to experience his unchanging and faithful nature. So during this time of worship, I'd encourage you to take every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. Take it to him and ask him to show you things the way he sees them.